We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Hello, welcome to another episode of The Bearer of Weird News. As always, I am your host and the suppository of all wisdom, Matt Harvey. This episode is brought to you guys, as usual, by you. Yes, you, the wonderful members of the Patreon. The supportive ones, the lovely ones, the ones who turn out and throw a little cash our way. If you'd also like to become a patron of the Bullshit Arts, then feel free to jump onto our Patreon. That's patreon.com/MattHarveyStuff and choose a tier that suits you, whatever you can afford. But if I'm honest, guys, I wouldn't dare rely on you alone. I know that things are tough out there. Times are tough. Cost of living crisis and all that. So I couldn't put that kind of pressure on you. It would be very unfair. So we turn, as we always do, to our larger sponsors. And this episode's sponsor is National Tourism Day. That's right. Are you sick of your humdrum existence? Do you live to work or do you work to live? These are the important questions. Have you accumulated a full year's worth of annual leave? That's maybe the most important question of them all, because it is time to go on a holiday. That's right. Celebrate this year's World Tourism Day by booking a holiday somewhere so cheap that you don't feel like the rules apply to you anymore. Stay in an accommodation that is normally way out of your league. Indulge in food the likes of which you don't normally eat, and be such a menace that you go viral online for acting like an asshole. World Tourism Day. Be a menace somewhere other than your own home. But of course, the truth is, as much as I appreciate the Patreon, as much as I appreciate our larger sponsors, all of this would not be possible without my live shows. They are definitely the most important component of all of this. And I'd like to say thanks first to our Sydney attendees. I was just at the Sydney Comedy Festival for a couple of days. And those of you who did turn out, it was a fantastic time. Had a lot of fun. We got to do, I got bit by a monkey once, and I really enjoyed bringing that to you guys. It was really fun, a couple of days over in Sydney. So I'd like to thank you for that. I do have some upcoming shows, of course, and I need you to, if you know anyone in these areas, please don't hesitate to send them my way. I'll be in the San Diego International Fringe from May 15th to May 26th doing my show, Wage Against the Machine, at the Marie Hitchcock Puppet Theatre, which, if I'm quite frank with you guys, is a lot of seats, and I'd really like some support, just some help getting some people out there. Then I go off to Reykjavik for two shows, June 5th and June 7th, in the Dubliner, a little pub, I assume, a little Irish pub in Reykjavik for the Reykjavik Fringe Festival. And then there's a little bit of a gap, which, who knows, maybe we'll fill in with a couple of things in between now and then, but right now, the next available festival for you to come and check out is Darwin, the Darwin Fringe Festival, where I will also be taking I Got Bit by a Monkey Once. I've got four shows at Top Floor Comedy. That's, I should know these things, they're my venues, Top Floor Comedy in Darwin from July 17th to 20th, and I will of course be doing the Edinburgh Fringe with, at the moment, with Wage Against the Machine, and hopefully I'll be able to take I Got Bit by a Monkey Once. We just need to lock a venue down, but I will be doing, I think it's July 30th until August 26th as part of Just the Tonic. We're on at 10:50 in the morning, but hey, who's to say that hard-hitting political commentary and talking about terrible jobs doesn't work at 10:50 in the morning as well as it does at 7 o'clock at night. So guys, if you know anyone who's going to the festival, who's in the UK or around that way, just do send them my way. I'd really appreciate that. But until then, guys, until then, I will of course be the bearer of weird news. And let's get into the headlines. A new art installation project in Australia uses the DNA of a musician who died in 2021 to create a sort of brain that continuously composes music on the fly via electrical signals. Upon hearing about this unpaid labor from someone who'd never be able to use the bathroom anyway, Jeff Bezos immediately jumped into action to try and secure the rights to this technology all for himself. Mark Zuckerberg has suggested wiping everyone's Facebook friends and making users start again to boost the platform's relevance. And I say, do it, you coward! Do it! Take away the only reason that people still struggle to leave your platform, the urge to stalk people that they knew from high school. They've forgotten their names by now, so if you take away all those connections, that's it, they're done, they get to move on, guilt-free. I can't think of a better way for that platform to die than by the owner putting the final nail in the coffin himself. It's actually a perfect ending to one of the largest cesspools in the history of the internet. Zuckerberg gives off big weeb energy anyway, so seppuku is probably the perfect way for it all to end. The conclave to elect the new pope has started after Pope Francis died at the age of 88. And guys, I don't know if you know this, but we've been doing a little bit of digging into this, and turns out that 97.65% of popes have died on the job. Do other people know about this? It's actually an OH&S nightmare. It's almost as if the church is covering something up. But I know that that's crazy talk. That's not like the church at all. By now, you've undoubtedly heard about the Blue Origin flight featuring five prominent women and Katy Perry. But reportedly, Katy Perry now regrets going to space due to backlash about her dramatic post-flight gesture and remarks about the space trip. Can we get a little look at that?
He's officially an astronaut, Katie, and very happy to be back on Earth.
So it seems she kissed the Earth and she hates it, the taste of her humble pie. A new research paper demonstrates how relatively simple changes to urinal geometry can dramatically reduce splashback, improving hygiene and potentially saving millions of liters of cleaning water daily. Yes, you can read all about this in the prestigious journal of Not Pissing on the Floor. Upon hearing about all this time and money spent on this research, women the world over asked, have you tried just sitting down when you take a piss? Clive Palmer's Trumpet of Patriots Party has failed to win a single seat in the House of Representatives, despite reportedly spending $60 million on the 2025 campaign, advertising and bombarding of people with over 17 million unsolicited text messages. Sorry, that story again. After a lot of public fervor and an excessive cost to create, Clive Palmer's vanity project sunk before reaching its intended destination. Hey! Looks like he managed to build that Titanic replica that he's been banging on about all these years after all. Despite the overwhelming loss at the election, Gina Reinhart has urged liberals to stick with Trump-like policies. You know, I've been thinking about it, and I've been looking into it a little bit, and guys, I'm starting to suspect that this Gina Reinhart lady might not have Australia's best interests at her heart. I guess we should have suspected when she went and made Hancock Prospecting's motto, "All for one, and that one is me." Influencer baker Brooke Bellamy has been dropped as an ambassador for a federally funded program to teach girls to think like an entrepreneur, after cookbook author Nagi Mahashi accused her of plagiarism. And to be honest with you guys, I don't know why you'd drop her as an entrepreneur ambassador. Claiming credit for the hard work of others is one of the main skills of many of the best entrepreneurs history has had to offer. And these girls need to learn that women can be just as shitty as men too. It's an important skill set. Hungry Jack's has been fined $150,240 because its 27,850 Garfield toys were powered by button batteries and they didn't include warnings about the batteries being inside. In a statement, Hungry Jack's said it took immediate steps to stop distribution and went on to say that the batteries in the meal were no less healthy than what they would normally put in their burgers anyway. Well, that's the end of the headlines for this episode. We're going to go into the bigger stories now, starting with the trans news roundup. Yeah. The 21st century has been littered with anti-trans sentiment, as leaders the world over have decided they only have one more group who they are openly allowed to discriminate against, and they're going to go all in on the trans community. Starting over in Hungary, as rights for transgender people were restricted as part of wider crackdowns on the LGBTQIA+ communities in Hungary through an amendment to its constitution by the ruling coalition led by populist Prime Minister and man who answered the casting call for man sick of listening to his own shit, Viktor Orban. The proposal was pretty standard anti-trans garbage. The National's constitution now says there are two sexes, male and female, or what's more commonly known as the kindergarten cop approach to sex and gender.
Boys have a penis, girls have vagina.
Thank you for clarifying, young man. Now we'll get back to the story. The amendment on gender included a clause that enshrined the protection of children's physical, mental, and moral development. I have no doubt that they will be getting around to blocking other threats to children's mental health like poverty and destructive right-wing ideologies waging culture wars any minute now. Any second now? I'm sure they'll get there. They're very busy right now doing a whole bunch of anti-trans stuff. Once they've cleared that up, then they'll get to the other stuff. I mean, they just need to do this trans stuff first for balance, right? The amendment also banned any public events from LGBTQIA+ communities. I guess that's because the people of Hungary are tired of having six street parties. It's the only reason that I can think of that you would ban them. They just really need some sleep. In the US, things are deteriorating at a pretty constant rate. Trump not only locked down the two sexes in the US thing that Hungary also did, but the Trump administration is suing the state of Maine for not allowing an executive order that he signed that banned transgender athletes from participating in girls' and women's sports, threatening to pull federal funding. Yeah! They aren't paying federal money for... Here it is. Supporting children to feel good about themselves. Fuck that! That's not what the US government was made for. It was made due to the colonists' belief that they should not be subjected to taxes without having elected representatives in the British Parliament. You know, the important things. The things governments have cared about since the beginning of governments. Making sure the ruling class doesn't have to pay taxes. How does the war on trans people help the wealthy not pay taxes? That's my question. It doesn't, does it? It's not living up to that basic American ideal, the basic tenets of the country, what I come to think of as the real American dream, not paying taxes. Currently, Trump is pushing for the US Supreme Court to reinstate his administration's ban on transgender troops serving in the armed forces. The State Department is blocking new passports with the X gender marker, saying that they will no longer be issued. Federal agencies are carrying out executive orders from Trump that all share a common goal, which is removing transgender and non-binary people from public life wherever possible. Seems in this new America, trans people shouldn't have to pay taxes, as they appear to have no representation. Isn't that the whole tenet? No taxation without representation? Look, just a little something for you to chew over. Obviously, I don't live there. And of course, over in the UK, where you guys might have heard, the Supreme Court decided the definition of a woman is based on biological sex and excludes transgender people. Five judges ruled that the UK Equality Act means trans women can be excluded from some groups and single-sex spaces, such as changing rooms, homeless shelters, swimming areas, and medical consulting services provided only to women. They insisted the court ruling did not remove rights for trans people as they were still protected from discrimination under UK law. You know, technically, in that you can't discriminate against anyone, technically. And isn't that the best way to provide safety for your citizens under a technicality? I think we should be deferring to more technicalities for laws. And if there is one way that we need rights to apply to people, it is by default. Why carve out specifics when we can just stumble ass backwards into some kind of protecting of people, sort of, and certainly not in a way that means anything specific or significant to them as individuals? The Women's Rights Group, or as we correctly call them around these parts, the TERF group, was unsurprisingly supported by the notorious TERF herself, J.K. Rowling, who continues her villain arc as she turns from working class hero to upper class asshole. She reportedly donated tens of thousands of pounds to back the TERFs. And as a means of support, she released her latest in a long series of Harry Potter lore drops, where she dramatically and sometimes confusingly adds new information into your brain about the world of Harry Potter. This one's simply titled Harry Potter and the Wrong Side of History. Emboldened by this UK ruling, and presumably now a massive Harry Potter fan, a member of New Zealand First, basically New Zealand's version of One Nation. So, for any non-Australians listening, I need you to think about it like this. If the orcs of Middle-earth were successful in carving out a space for themselves right in the middle of Hobbiton, and then insisted that they were always here and refused to acknowledge that they'd taken the land from the hobbits, then went and formed a political party around the whole idea that the land belonged to them in the first place, that'd be New Zealand First. That'd be One Nation. You get the idea? Well, these orcs, they have decided they don't like trans people being recognised. And they want the same thing that the UK got. A legal ruling that says trans people are imaginary and fuck reality and everyone in it. Which is a big ask, if I'm honest. And I get it. I've acted before. It's always way more fun to play make-believe than to live in reality. You know, cool shit happens in make-believe land. There are monsters that you get to fight, or there might be like a cool stunt that you get to do. I get it. It's fun to play make-believe. And if things don't go your way, or if anybody questions you, you can just cancel the whole project. You know what I mean? You can cancel the whole thing, have a big cry, call them woke, and say, cancel culture is coming to get ya. You know, that sort of thing. Make-believe is fun, right? I get it. But at a certain point, you sort of need to accept things are the way they are and maybe move on with your life. At this point, weirdly, enter Australia, the very unlikely hero of this piece. You see, Australia's Sex Discrimination Commissioner, Anna Cody, has strongly criticised the UK Supreme Court ruling about trans women not being included as women. Cody expressed support for the trans and gender diverse community, saying the laws in the UK are not the laws of Australia. To which Gough Whitlam stepped up and said that he would like to have a bit of a conversation with a few people about how much influence Britain had over Australia's law. Cody said, "Our lands should reflect inclusion, respect, and the right of all people to live with dignity, and that human rights belong to everyone." I mean, we still won't treat them well or with dignity, but if you have any doubt about that, please refer to both our Indigenous and refugee populations. But we do acknowledge them. That's the important thing. We acknowledge that they're there, and that we do not treat them well. Well, we don't always acknowledge that we don't treat them well either, but we acknowledge that they are there. They're definitely there. We have to. It's necessary to differentiate between people so that we know who we are going to treat poorly compared to everyone else. You see, all of these things have their purpose in the grand scheme. But don't you dare go accusing us of not acknowledging the nuances of the modern world in which we live. I mean, we start so many meetings or shows with an acknowledgement of country. We're a big acknowledging country ourselves. It's called killing with kindness. This has been our motto for the longest time. It's a significant improvement on our old motto, which was, fuck all you guys, we'll do what we want. And we're going to wrap this one up with election news. I know that seems sudden, but the election just happened. And guys, there's a lot to talk about. The election has just wrapped up, and for 5 weeks it was bearing down on us all, in all possible meanings of the word. Candidates were out giving speeches, ideologies being judged, and Reddit forums were being flooded with questions about whether or not one party or another is actually scary, or maybe just the 63% stranglehold of the media the Murdoch Empire has on the country has managed to spread some disinformation and maybe told a couple of fibbies here and there in its time. Big, big moments for the country. But with the election all wrapped up now, there's no time to think about any of that, because somebody has said something stupid on the election campaign. And we're going to go through some of the election highlights. And for the first stupid cap off the rank, what we have here is an election in the exceedingly white country of Australia, where both the major political parties are putting forward candidates who are what the internet would describe as old and white. Yes, even Albanese, who is the first Italian-Australian Prime Minister, is so damn white. If you doubt his credentials, I ask you to simply look at this.
Even the most familiar surrounds can be slippery.
Oh, see, that is a white man's level of spatial awareness right there. It's why so many of us struggle to dance. We know it's a danger, and if anything, we're doing you guys a favor by staying away, keeping our distance, you know? So what's the worst thing an election this white could possibly have produced? Did I hear a rap? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You better believe I heard a rap. I'm not even kidding, guys. Let's give this one a bit of a listen, and I apologize in advance.
To girl Deb Leonard, rapping Monash in his post. From Druin to one baggy Warragul to the coast. In Lee and Gaffer and Cal, some are struggling both. While major parties in Canberra got caviar on their toast.
Yeah, that's white mum and independent candidate Deb Leonard going out of her way to ensure the 18 to 35 demographic is extremely reluctant to put her above Labour on their preferences. Sure, she seems to care about the electorate, but if this is the level of her decision making, I think everybody needed to reconsider whether or not they wanted to vote for her or not. But I will say this, as bad as that rap is, and it is a breath of fresh air compared to the other political rap to drop this political season. That's right, two raps dropped from two extremely white candidates. Let's see if you can guess which party dropped this rap.
Got us feeling so stressed, we need to find a solution. We need to switch up the people in power. I just want to put food on the table, so I'm willing to do what I gotta. Bring them prices down, this is what we need. Cause Albo's gotta leave, Albo's gotta leave. Hey, bring them prices down, this is what we need. Cause Albo's gotta leave, Albo's gotta leave. Hey.
Did you guess? Did you guess? Yeah, that's right. It's the one, it's the only, the notorious P. Duddy and the Liberal Party. And this, believe it or not, this rap, the Australian called a Drake-inspired diss track. Because they've never heard an actual real rap before. They've complained about rap, sure, but they've never actually heard any rap before. Now, these are both objectively bad raps, don't get me wrong, but compared to the Liberal Party's slop heap, Suddenly, Deb Leonard is looking very electable. At least she has a little bit of flow. And, you know, she was willing to show up in her own video. It wasn't just some probably AI-generated crap. I don't want to dwell on this bad rap, as there are so many things to talk about this election, but I need to focus on this one thing. Just this one thing, okay? Just bear with me a moment. I will subject you to a little bit more of that rap just one more time. I do apologize in advance, but just give it a listen. See if you can hear what I hear.
Some eggs and cheese, $100, you kidding me? It costs too much to live. The economy's looking a mess. So we living check to check. Labor got us feeling so stressed. We need to find a solution. We need to switch up the people in power.
Did you catch that? Wonderful listening audience who are being extremely patient with all this rap stuff. Why would you put that lyric in a rap? Especially in a rap about an upcoming election where you're one of the parties that were more extreme on views in immigration. It's just a wild choice for you to have made. But I'm sorry, I've been distracted. That wasn't even what I wanted to highlight. It just took me by surprise when I heard it. So we're going to go in one more time and listen real quick, in, out, real fast. I apologize, I promise.
Bring them prices down. This is what we need. Cause Albo's gotta leave. Albo's gotta leave.
Did you catch that? There it is. Did you hear it? Albo's gotta leave? Leave? Albo's gotta leave? What? What are you doing, coalition? You had it right in front of you. You were there. You were like inches from the finish line. The simplest rhyme in the history of rhyming. That would also reinforce your message. Albo's gotta leave? No, champ. Albo's gotta go. Albo's gotta go. Do you see the basic rhyming structure here? It's real simple. Never has there been less effort put into rhyming since Kanye rhymed money with money 4 times in a row. Sorry. I'm just really angry about it. Moving away from the world of political rap with something much more familiar, political podcasts. So Colin Boyce, a coalition MP and self-proclaimed climate change denier, and sentient ham sitting in the back of the fridge, desperately screaming to be noticed. He went on a podcast, the name of which I never bothered to learn because fuck those guys, where he dropped this 5D chess maneuver.
We have to probably adopt a do-nothing strategy, obviously fight the good fight, but the do-nothing strategy is a tough love strategy where people will not actually understand what's happening until the lights go out. When the lifts in the buildings stop working and the supermarket shelves are empty because the refrigerators don't work anymore, that's when people will all of a sudden start to realise. I have a small cohort of parliamentarians who are of the same position as I. Politically, how do you sell that? That's the problem.
I mean, as wild a take as that is, I sit here now finding myself agreeing with him. Hear me out. If this is what it takes to get the major upgrades that we're going to need to put renewable power in everywhere, then I'm willing to put it all on the line for the future of the country. This country loves to gamble, right? And approximately 58 million petajoules of solar energy is received annually, which is 10,000 times larger than our total energy need consumption. Like, it's just wild that they don't think that there's going to be enough sunshine in a primarily desert country to be able to get this thing going. All we have to do is invest in the renewables. So yeah, I'm more than happy to take a chance on multiple renewable energies getting the job done. And we're gonna need them because the coalition, they went oddly hard this election. They were just straight up refusing to say if they would introduce any policies to cut Australia's greenhouse gas emissions in the next decade, and simultaneously pledged to unwind most climate measures that were introduced under Labor, because they promised to get Australia back on track. Yeah, that was their big slogan for the election. Get Australia back on track. What does that even mean, guys? Even Andrew Bolt didn't like your political slogans. When you have turned number one cheerleader Andrew Bolt away from the team, I feel like, yeah, you probably did something wrong. But the problem is, I guess, with the back on track political slogan, the train was only off the track because it was running out of control and simultaneously on fire and somehow flooding at the same time. Not to mention that the train was one of those old-timey coal-fueled trains. You understand what I'm saying here? We don't need coal-fueled trains anymore. However, despite the best efforts of these other candidates, a party actively attempting to roll back climate change measures was definitely the strangest pitch of the entire 2025 election cycle. Just in this day and age, when you lost seats to political party members who were sort of similar to you but had better climate policies, how is this your big maneuver? And I will, like, people tried. These other political parties, they tried to have the strangest take. There was some real fucking doozies this election. Like Tasmanian Greens Senator Nick McKim, who donned a hoodie and put on a headset and then live streamed himself playing Fortnite, turning himself into the living embodiment of the "hello fellow children" meme. I understand you want to court the youth vote, but this is probably too young. You're skewing too young, and they're not gonna be, not gonna be able to vote, but also they're not into this. They don't want to see you. They want to know that they're playing against other kids. They're weirded out that you're there playing Fortnite with them. But in a different tactic, Greens MP Stephen Bates turned to OnlyFans. Are you really going to pretend that you don't know what OnlyFans is? Very well. Very well. The website, mostly known for getting teachers fired and making rich rappers richer by selling private pictures to horny gooners. Bates used the platform to post about the Greens' efforts to make an HIV-related drug free in Australia. Independent candidate Nicolette Boel stole the district TikTok interview style of Egyptian-American comedian Kareem Rama's popular New York subway take series by posting a video of herself interviewing commuters on a train in New South Wales, even using the phrases
"what's your take, what's your take, what's your take"
and
100%,
which is annoying. But if you're going to rip off an American, I'd rather it be Kareem style that we bring into Australian Parliament than Trump style. So I will have to give her points for that. Especially with the trumpet of patriots swimming in the water, hoping that we would scoop them up in our preference net when we try to avoid voting for the major parties this election. And as usual, they added a little bit of spice to the election cycle, so it wouldn't be, in the words of their leader,
boring. You have to go a long, long way to find a more boring election than this one.
Yeah. Yeah, you tell them, Clive. Last thing we want is for politics to be boring. Couldn't have boring politics. It might put you to sleep, mightn't it, Clive? The audacity. Look at him. All tuckered out after a big day of taking up valuable space in Parliament while he attempts to manipulate the levers of power just to benefit himself. Ooh, you're just a slippery little Clivey. Whereas if we just had the regular type of power manipulator, boring. Who could stand it? So, to fill the boring hole, Trumpet of Patriots fielded a candidate, David Sarakaya, whose website claimed that he holds a PhD in psychology, which, to be honest, might be quite useful, actually, in Parliament. A surprisingly thoughtful choice from the man who wants to rebuild the Titanic. We don't get a lot of soft sciences in Parliament. It's mostly law degrees, arts degrees, and business degrees. This is going to be a refreshing change. unless something not boring happens, like, oh, I don't know. It turns out that he bought his degree online in a field unrelated to health services and is in fact prohibited from providing health services following an investigation that found he posed a risk to the health and safety of the public. That would be so not boring at all, especially if the New South Wales Healthcare Complaints Commission issued a warning that said that it was not safe to receive counselling and health services from this man. Oh, that would be so unboring, not even slightly boring. Not even a little bit. For a man as white as he is, he sure does know how to sprinkle just the right amount of spice into an election cycle. It's quite a skill. The ACCC said in 2016, evidence showed Sirikia was indeed a doctor. Though, yes, he got himself a PhD. He did, I will give him that. Full credit to him, he got himself a PhD. Sure, that PhD is not related to his practice in counselling or psychology in any way. In fact, it is in theology. So, when someone on the plane asks if there is a doctor, he can technically say yes. And given his specialty, he might even be able to perform their last rites, which he should have performed over the trumpet of patriots. But we'll end all this spicy roundup with shenanigans from the Liberal Party, who have been sending unsolicited emails designed to data harvest when recipients attempted to click unsubscribe. I mean, don't get me wrong, both Labor and Liberal parties both have websites that claim to enable people to apply for postal ballots. But before directing users to the AEC website where they might actually be able to sign up for a ballot, it actually makes them fill in their personal details, including their full name, their phone number, their address, and their email. But the Labor Party didn't disguise theirs as an unsubscribe button. There is a distinct level of extra deception in that. And you're going a bit more out of your way to be a little more cunty than usual. I get that it's an election and you feel like everything's on the line, but come on guys, chill out. The Victorian Liberals were not only cunty, but they were pretty stupid as well. And this country as a whole will abide a cunt. Don't get me wrong, we will. But it will not abide a stupid cunt. There is a distinct difference. So they went and left part of their email provider subscriber information exposed. Whoopsie. Oh no. Details that they use to determine who you might be include phrases like strong liberal, online donor, state vote, federal vote, predicted Chinese, predicted Jewish, you know, pretty regular phrases for the most part. They did also go on to include some like real obscure categories like predicted piece of shit, which was a little bit of a redundant as they actually already had strong liberal in the list, but hey. But the categories went on. Likely to have a snake as a pet, tofu aficionado, which weird. Fan of Big Bang Theory, which seems harsh until you hear the next one. Thinks severance is too slow and not worth the time, which is just a scathing review of a person. Secretly likes Chapel Roan songs, but publicly tells people that they only listen to Nickelback, which is an interesting choice. Prefers the middle seat on a plane. Maybe go see a therapist chap. Likes the film Get Out, but sympathizes with Rose's father. And eats onions, which, ugh, disgusting. And so on and so forth. I mean, they were really mining a lot of data this election. But all of this data, and they still don't understand people. As was evidenced in one of the debates. One of those few opportunities the candidates get to speak without someone fact-checking them or contradicting them. And he's gone and wasted this opportunity to speak to the public by doing something stupid like this.
Mr. Dutton, do you know how much they cost?
About $4.20.
$4.20? $4.20. Sorry, I just need to take a moment to disengage from the rage. Just, oh, okay. $4.20. 20. Four eggs? Can I get the chart up? Can we just... Thank you, put the chart up there. Just... I want to see it. Show me the egg chart. Look at this. The last time eggs were about $4.20 was what? 2018? 2019?